Roman Travis. Magic
Talk. One saving grace throughout this pandemic is that we aren't living in a previous century, right? Or previous centuries. Modern technology is helping us in so many ways, and some of them have yet to hit the ground running. Dr. Andrew Chen is a research fellow and digital data expert at Kōtui, the Centre for Informed Futures at Auckland University, and joins me now. Good morning. Oh, I don't think we do have him there, actually, after that splendid... Oh, here he is. Are you there now? Hello.
Morena, hi.
Morena, you were just...
cut out for a bit.
We just had you hiding in a different cupboard. We've got you back now. Now, the Centre for Informed Futures at the University of Auckland, what actually happens there?
Yeah, so we're an independent and apolitical think tank and research centre, and we're based in the Faculty of Arts. The key is that we have a transdisciplinary team working together. So my background is in computer engineering, for example, and we're working on a number of projects from understanding societal resilience to developing methods of having more complex conversations about difficult topics. Mm. And we're trying to get some research out there about how our societies cope with fast and significant changes. Mm. And with something like COVID-19, it's clear that we need to understand that a lot better than we do at the moment.
Most of us download apps because someone says, oh, you've got to grab this app and then you never use it again. What are some of the apps you're working on? Is it this digital contact tracing? What's that about?
Yeah, so contact tracing is one of the most powerful tools that we have for containing COVID-19. It's important that we do it and we do it right. So essentially, it's, when somebody turns out to be infected with COVID-19, then we need to find out who else they've been with within the last couple of days. And then we can find out, we can find them and try and isolate them to limit the spread. So at the moment, this is mostly a manual process, and it's been reasonably effective. You have teams of nurses and medical professionals basically interviewing people who have been infected and then calling up all of their contacts to tell them maybe they should stay home. What we have seen is that with something like COVID-19, how it spreads for a while before people actually know that they're sick, it can make it quite difficult when those infected people potentially have been through a crowded place or have been to somewhere like a bakery or a playground where it becomes hard to know who else has been there. Mm. And so the idea is to use digital contact tracing, so apps that are on your phone, and that they're tracing who you're with or where you've been without you really actively having to do anything. And so that if you do become sick, then you'll be able to trace back and figure out who you've been close to.
We tend to be a country recognised globally as early adopters with FPOS cards, with cell phones. Is this technology likely to take off?
Yeah, so that's one of the big questions. So we know that about 88% of people in New Zealand have access to smartphones or are using smartphones on a regular basis. So that's pretty high. There is that 12% that would be missing out. And we don't really know sort of what penetration we would get if we put this app out there. We don't know how many people would use it. And another question that we need to answer is what level of coverage do we actually need? So manual contact tracing at the moment doesn't cover 100% of the population. And if we tell people to download an app, I think realistically we'd get a participation rate of about maybe something between 20 and 40%. And we need to know whether or not that's good enough. What we're hearing from some of the epidemiologists is that that would be, because this app isn't something that would replace manual contact tracing. It's something that would augment it. And so if we can take some of that load off the manual contact tracing process, then that would be really helpful for the Ministry of Health to keep things under control.
What are some of the factors that the government, and you've mentioned the Ministry of Health, what are some of the factors that they should be considering when they choose an option in this regard?
Yeah, so we've got apps. We've also got other types of data that they could be looking at, like cell phone location tracking or transaction data. And so probably one of the first questions is whether the government wants to use an opt-in system, like getting people to download an app, or the government uses high-level data that doesn't require active participation from people. The other really important question is whether we need to track people's locations or just their interactions with people, or whether we need both. So there's some models in other places around the world. So Singapore's one just tracks interactions. People in the US and UK are tracking locations. And we need to figure out which one is the most appropriate for us. We also need to figure out if we're just going to use this technology for contact tracing or if we're also going to try and use it to enforce physical distancing. And we need to know what system we can get out there quickly without too many errors. That's been one of the problems in Singapore, is that their app has a couple of bugs and that's made some people decide not to use it. We need to make sure that we can maintain confidence in whatever system we decide to use. Mm. And then, of course, we need to consider the impacts on privacy and ask that if we are essentially surveilling people, then how can we mitigate those harms? And we need to figure out, so who's going to have access to this sort of data and under what sort of criteria are we going to shut it down? So when do we decide that the pandemic is over and we can and we don't need this anymore? That's going to be a really important question.
Yeah, well, to that point, we've seen some real flaws in the likes of House Party and Zoom, where privacy has been compromised. How can you allay those fears around privacy and get people to get on board with what you're developing?
Yeah, so the sorts of apps that we're seeing overseas, a couple of the key ideas are making sure that it's opt-in so that people are aware that this is something that they're doing and that they're volunteering to give up some of their data, making sure to keep that data on the device rather than handing it all to the government straight away, only tracking the people who are infected rather than tracking all of the people, limiting who has access and ensuring that there is that shutdown date or criteria. But ultimately it is a trade-off, because the circumstances are extraordinary and it may justify that we do need to give up a bit of privacy. That does mean that we should still do what we can to mitigate harm. But I think people probably need to start getting used to this idea that they might need to give up a little bit of privacy in order to give all of us a good shot at limiting and containing the spread of COVID-19.
The government's told us consistently that they're well rehearsed, they practice for a pandemic. This seems to be a little reactive. Is that fair? Or in what regard is the government helping you in being proactive?
Yeah, so there is a contact tracing team in the Ministry of Health already, and their task force is actively thinking about this. And the Minister of Health has said that they're very actively considering options at the moment. I know that a lot of people are making these apps, and one of my colleagues, Ayesha Verrill, says that she's receiving 20-plus messages a day from various people saying that they've developed an app and that the government should use it. And I think the government's probably getting a lot of different offers and they need to assess those. One of the things about going into lockdown is that it's essentially buying us some time. We've got about 3.5 or 2.5 more weeks. That's not that much time, but it also means that we don't need to pick the first shiny solution that comes across that looks like it might work. So the government should spend a little bit of time to really assess all of the different options, pick one, and then we all need to get behind that one option. Because one of the other worst-case scenarios in this area is if we end up with 2 or 3 different apps, and then different parts of the population are using different apps, and that reduces the effectiveness of all of them. So we need to all get behind one central solution.
I'm speaking with Dr. Andrew Chen, a research fellow in digital data. He's an expert in this from Auckland University. You just mentioned about 2.5 weeks. So we're about 2.5 weeks away from this coming to the market?
Oh, no, I just mean that the lockdown is about 2.5 weeks away from at the moment, assuming that it's a 4-week lockdown. And I think the purpose of having this digital contact tracing isn't really for the situation that we're in now, where everybody's at home anyway, because the level of spread is relatively low. It's going to be for when we try to go back to business as usual, when we all come out of the lockdown and people are moving around a bit more and there is more potential for that spread to happen.
Andrew, does it seem strange to you that we haven't had something like this all set to go before now?
No, I think there hasn't really been a need for it, right? And so the government has their internal solutions and they have manual contact tracing, and they would say that in most cases it's working quite well, and I believe that they do have quite a bit of capacity there. I think what has changed is that the technology has improved very quickly over the last couple of years. And so naturally when something like COVID-19 comes out and starts to spread, a lot of technology people go, well, why can't we use technology to help us do this better? So I wouldn't say that it's a failure of on anyone's part to not already have this ready. It really is just new technology that can help us do this better.
Mm. although scientists around the world have been predicting what's happening now quite a long time ago. Maybe your department could be developing a stupidity app for those people who are trying to flout the rules that we've got in place.
Yeah, I think we'd be developing that for quite a while. There's a lot of different forms of stupidity.
Oh, yeah, there are. Look, a quick text here from Kate. Kate's quite sort of put out by this. She says, you have to be kidding to be tracked by this sort of app. What is this, communist China? Come on, people, this is our freedom and democracy. It's more than that, though, isn't it, Andrew? This is about getting us, as you said, to give up some of that in order to make things better for everyone long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we know that not everybody is going to want to use this. And so Kate doesn't have to download it. What we're saying is that as long as enough people are using it, then that will be able to give the Ministry of Health what they need to really keep this under control. So, we've had different estimates. So some people are saying 20% would be great. I know Singapore's just said that they need 75% for it to be effective. But as long as we've got some people using this app, helping us trace some of those contacts, that will be really helpful in containing the spread.
Terry has texted in. He says Singapore has the app and it's called Trace Together. Why can't we just use one that's being used elsewhere?
Yeah, so Trace Together is being open sourced, and the European Union also has one app that they've made that they're open sourcing. One really important thing is that we need to make sure that whatever solution we use in New Zealand makes sense for our context. So, for example, Singapore is a country that has a really high population density. They're all packed in quite closely together. New Zealand has a lot of places that aren't like that. So we need to make sure that our solution actually works for us. The other thing to note is that those open source apps that others have made aren't 100% foolproof, and there have been some bugs. We don't want to replicate those bugs in New Zealand. If we've got a bit of time, we should make sure that what we're using is going to be as good as we can make it.
Andrew, does it surprise you that people get put out by the potential of a wonderful new development like this when they're very happy to use all forms of social media which know more about you than you know about yourself?
No, it's not surprising to me, because I think people are quite happy to live with that cognitive dissonance if they don't think too much about it. I think really those sorts of discussions come down to this idea of utility versus privacy. People feel like that they're getting something out of social media, which is why they're quite happy to give up their privacy to participate in it. And so when it comes to something like a digital contact tracing app, it'll be up to essentially the government to really convey what the benefit to each individual person is in order to try and convince them that it is worth downloading this app. So, really pushing hard that message that it's not just for you, but it's also to help protect the rest of the country, I think is going to be really key in convincing people that this is something that's worth doing.
Brilliant. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sunday Cafe. Dr. Andrew Chen, a research fellow and digital data expert at COID2, the Centre for Informed Futures at Auckland University.